Let's begin our service opening our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. We'll begin our reading in verse 13. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Turn now to page number 17. Number 17. Come thou fount of every blessing. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Give my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Let's turn over now to page 30. Page 30, three, few pages. Number 30, Psalms based on Psalm 103. Mike's going to be bringing the message from. Bless the Lord and sing his praises. Bless the Lord now, O my soul. Join the song all heaven raises. Let the anthem loudly roll. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord for love victorious, love that conquered on the tree. For His grace so great and glorious, flowing out from Calvary. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, He walks beside me, and He lights the path before. Every need is now supplied me from His bounteous heavenly store. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, for truth He's given, for the word of prophecy that has drawn the veil from heaven and revealed my destiny. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name.
All right, let's turn now to Psalm 103, the psalm that song was based upon, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank God for his word. Let's bow together. Our Father, after we've just read this glorious psalm, how we desire that you would give us a heart that would bless the Lord, that would kneel before you and worship in awe and wonder, awe at who you are, and wonder, wonder of wonders, that you would be so gracious and merciful, forgiving and kind to sinners, vile and guilty and wretched sinners, such as we are. Father, how we thank you. And with what we do have in us, we bless the Lord. We praise your holy name. Father, I pray this evening that you give us a spirit of worship, that you would enable us to forget about the goings-on of this life and teach us more of Christ our Savior. Enable us to worship him. And Father, enable us to take these things that we hear preached from your word, apply them to our hearts, that makes a difference in our daily lives, that we don't go back out into the world and look at the world and deal with the world and deal with the problems of this life the same way that we did when we came in. But cause us to see everything that's going on in this life, understanding the Lord's doing it. So it's good and it's right, and whatever it is, we bless the Lord. We bless him for his matchless goodness and mercy and grace and wisdom and power to direct all things according to his purpose for his glory and for the good of his people. Father, help us to learn that lesson. And all the other cares and worries and fears and doubts we have of this life, cause us just to lay them at your feet. Forget about them there and bless your matchless name. It's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray and give thanks.
Numerous souls.
Let's open our Bibles again now to Psalm 103. I titled the message this evening, Bless the Lord. And we've come to a very special psalm in our study of all these psalms. Charles Spurgeon said of this psalm, the Alps is a great and high mountain range. He said, but there's some peaks that are just higher than others. He also said of this Psalm 103, this is the apple tree among the trees of the wood. It's a long been a special blessing and encouragement to God's people. We believe that David wrote this psalm when he was an older man and he had some time to grow in grace and knowledge of some things. He had a clearer view now of the Lord. He had a clearer view of spiritual things than he did when he first began. And he had a much clearer view of how little that this life is worth. It's just not worth much. David learned that the hard way. If you and I learn it, we're going to learn it the hard way too. A lot of pain, and sorrow, and heartbreak. But you'll notice that this psalm is all worship. It's all worship for who the Lord is and what He has been pleased to do for His people. There's not one petition in this whole psalm. It is entire psalm, wholly given to worship. David begins with verse 1, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I looked up that word, bless, that he uses there, and it means to kneel in adoration. Sounds to me like this is bowing. It's kneeling before God in silent awe. Because David doesn't talk here about his lips or his tongue blessing the Lord. He said, all that is within me, bless His holy name. David here is talking in terms of heart worship. He's not talking about making an outward show. This is not just lip service. This is worship that is freely flowing from the heart. You have a pretty good idea when somebody is talking to you and they say something to you from the heart. I mean, you can tell they mean this. It's coming from the heart. You know they really mean this. And that's what I pray for us tonight, that the Lord will enable us to worship Him from the heart, like we really mean it, because He deserves it, doesn't He? And then David says, bless the name, the holy name of the Lord, Jehovah, God my Savior. See, God's name, it's important when we talk about God's name in Scripture. God's name tells us who He is, tells us what He's like. God's name describes His attributes. And the name David uses here, Lord, tells us that God is the Savior. He's the justifier of sinners. So bless the Lord for who He is. Oh, I wish I could get this across to my generation. Maybe it's always been this way. I don't know. I only know about my lifetime. I wish I could get this through to my generation. God is not how we make Him up to be. God is how He is revealed in His book. God wrote us a whole book to tell us who He is and what He's like. We would do well to read this book and find out who He is and bless Him and praise Him for who He says that He is. I promise you it's better than this little peanut we make up ourselves. I promise you it is. Now, the rest of this psalm, David gives us three reasons to bless the Lord. He leaves us then with an exhortation. Number one, David says, bless the Lord because of all of His benefits to us. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, I'm afraid that when we hear about the Lord's benefits to us, the first thing that goes through our mind is material and physical blessing. And I don't reckon that we can stop that from happening. We're just tied to this flesh. We just can't stop that from happening. And there's nothing wrong with giving thanks for those things. You know, if we have them, whatever they are, there's no doubt whatsoever the Lord's one gave them to us. And we should be thankful. We should bless Him for those things. But that's not the blessings David's talking about here at all. Every blessing David lists in this psalm are spiritual blessings. He blesses the Lord for these things, spiritual blessings. He kneels in silent adoration because we can't live without any of these blessings David mentions here. I can live without more money. I can't. I can live without nicer clothes. I can live without a new car. I can live without two cars. I can live without health. I can live without happiness. That's true. I can live and not be happy. I can. But I can't live without forgiveness of sin. I can't live without mercy. I can't live without redemption. I can't live without the gospel. I can't live without knowing the Lord. So the first benefit David mentions here is forgiveness of sin. Who forgiveth, he says, verse 3, all thine iniquities. Now, Psalm 130, David said, if the Lord would mark iniquities, who would stand? I mean, if He would mark iniquity and charge all of our iniquity to us, who would stand? Not one of us, really. We'd all be in trouble. But David went on to say, but there is forgiveness with thee. There is forgiveness of iniquity with the Lord. Now, thankfully, the Lord does not forgive like we forgive. You think about the way we forgive one another. There's a limit to it. That's right, there is a limit to it. There's certain things cannot be forgiven. You can talk ugly to my wife, and I will try my best to forgive you. But you murder her, it ain't happening. I mean, it's just not happening. Well, aren't you glad that God's not like that? There's no limit to His forgiveness. He forgives all of the sin of all of His people. The word David uses here is iniquity. It means perverseness. The Lord forgives the worst of sin. All sin. And it's not because the Lord is so nice. I'm just not nice enough to forgive somebody that murdered my wife. And I hear people do that. They say, you know, murdered their spouse, and they end up saying they've forgiven them. That just ain't happening with old Frank. I can tell you that. I mean, he's just not. I'm just not nice that way. But the Lord doesn't forgive sin because He's just nice and He can ignore it. God forgives sin because the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's why He forgives all sin, the worst of sin. With us, there's a limit to what we could forgive. And there's a limit to how long we're going to keep forgiving somebody. I mean, eventually they got to quit doing this and act right, don't they? I mean, we're going to run out of forgiveness and we say, well, it's time for tough love. We'll run out of forgiveness. But David says, the Lord forgiveth
seed. Always in the present tense. Always.
God will never stop forgiving the sin of His people because the blood of Christ is always enough. I want to make this point clear, and I want us to remember it. I've been saying it a lot in my messages recently because it utterly amazes me, thrills my soul, that God in His wisdom made it right for Him to forgive the sin of His people. He made it right for Him to do that. Because the Father put His Son to death to pay for the sin of His elect so that He could forgive them in justice. There's no reason for God to damn them. Christ took away all that reason. Now, if that doesn't make us bless the Lord, to kneel before Him in awe, in silent worship, and bless Him from the heart, nothing will. Right, the second benefit is healing. Verse 3, He forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, this is not talking about physical healing. I know that happens. We, from a variety of means, you young folks, you get hurt and your body is young. You bend, you could stub your toe, and tomorrow you'd feel better. If I do that today, I'd be 3 weeks getting over that. You're young. You just get better faster. You go to the right doctor. They give the right medicine. You get better. But now, wait a minute. What? The Lord did that, didn't He? If that happens, the Lord did that. We're thankful. We're thankful. But this is not talking about physical healing. Because David says the Lord heals all thy diseases. Now, unless the Lord returns, every one of us are going to die from something that the Lord didn't heal us from. So David is not talking about physical healing here. He's still talking about the Lord forgiving sin. God does not consider the sin of His children as a crime to be punished. He considers it a disease to be healed. Do you get that? God does not consider the sickness or the sin of His children to be a crime that's to be punished. He considers it a sickness, an uncleanness that must be healed. Now that puts sin in a whole new light, doesn't it? And our sin sickness would cause our soul to suffer eternal death. But God heals all the sin sickness of His people by pouring into their soul the sweet balm of Gilead, the blood of Christ. The sacrifice of Christ has removed all the sin, all the iniquity, all the uncleanness of His people. He's removed it all so it can't destroy them. He took away all the sin of His people. Now, I didn't say we don't sin. I said we have no sin because the blood of Christ washed it away. It is the blood of Christ that has healed our sin-sick soul. And if God's ever given you a glimpse of how sick you are, you'll bless His holy name for healing all your diseases. Right, the third benefit is redemption. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Now, our sin has put a price on our head, a price that must be paid. God's law and God's justice demand there be death for sin. But Christ has come, and He's redeemed His people from destruction. He's redeemed the souls of His people from destruction by paying the redemption price in full. And the redemption price was not money. I mean, it wasn't even a bunch of money. It wasn't even all the money that God has. You know, money can be replaced. The redemption price that Christ paid was much more precious than gold, silver that perishes. He paid that redemption price with His own life, with His own blood. Peter said we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Because nothing else was precious enough to pay the price. Christ has redeemed His people from the law by suffering justice for them as their substitute. Look at verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Christ's death wrought righteousness in His people. And it wrought, it brought, it earned justice for His people. When Christ redeemed His people, He purchased them. They belonged to Him. He paid the price that the law demanded, and he bought them. They belong to him, and now the law has no claim on them whatsoever. The price has been paid. Yet we still act like, boy, God's going to get me. God's going to get me. The law is still out to get me. Or we think this, oh, things are not going right in my life, and God has just blessed me and straightened up all this mess if I just do better at keeping the law. Tied to this flesh. Tied to this flesh. That's thinking God is like us. That's what that is. Christ has redeemed his people from destruction. He bought them by giving everything that he is, body and soul, to pay the redemption price of his people. And the value of Christ's sacrifice, we talk about it every single service. We talk about the sacrifice of Christ. And the value of it is higher than we can possibly imagine. That price was everything that the Lord Jesus Christ was. And he paid that price for worthless sinners like you and me. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. In awe and silent worship. If that doesn't make you bless the Lord, nothing will. The fourth benefit is loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. I looked up that word loving kindness, and I expected to find this grand and glorious definition to give you. And it simply means kindness. Kindness. But God's kindness to his people is great kindness. In Hosea 2, verse 19, the Lord says to his people, he said, you've gone a-whoring for me. You've followed after idols. And he said, yet, I'm still going to marry you. I'm going to betroth you to me forever. I'm going to betroth thee unto me in righteousness, in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercy. Oh, what loving kindness that God would join himself to the likes of you and me. And God showed his loving kindness to his people. He demonstrated it for all of creation to see by sending his son into this world to be made a man, to be their substitute. And this is what the Savior had to say about his coming in Psalm 40, verse 10. He said, I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. The only way we know God's righteousness is by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. We never would have known God's righteousness if we hadn't known Christ. He said, I've declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. We would never know that God's faithful to do everything he promised if he didn't send his son to do everything that he promised. He put everything in him. We wouldn't know about salvation. We would think that we got to keep the law. You'd think you got to be a natural Jew. We would never know about salvation if God didn't reveal it in his son. And then he said, I've not concealed thy loving kindness. We never would have known anything about loving kindness if God didn't send his son to be the propitiation for our sin. Therein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. The only way we know about God's loving kindness is by seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And loving kindness and tender mercies, they're almost always seen together. Tender mercies come from bowels of compassion. The word has to do with what comes from the womb. This is compassion a mother feels. A mother feels. From that baby that's grown inside your womb. That compassion. Oh. But tender mercies are mercies that are applied with a tender, compassionate hand. That great hand of our Savior that holds all of God's creation together. That great hand that holds all of God's people in one place. That great and powerful hand is the hand that in tender compassion applies God's mercies to the heart of his people. Just like a mother tenderly wipes the brow
of a sick child. So tender. And the Lord doesn't just give loving kindness and tender mercies to his people. David said he crowns them with it. The word means covered on every side. God encircles his people with his love and tender mercies, giving it to his children like a tender, caring, loving father. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Well, the fifth benefit is the gospel of Christ. Verse 5, David says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Now the Lord fills the mouths of his people with good things to eat. Things that are sweeter than the honeycomb. By faith, God's people eat Christ. We become one with him. We eat his flesh and drink his blood. God's people eat his word. God's people have an appetite for the gospel. An appetite for the gospel that would make them come out even on a Wednesday night to hear the gospel. Because they just come and they just eat it up. They got an appetite for it. This is the gospel of our salvation. This is the gospel that declares how God forgives sin. It's the gospel of our redemption. It's the gospel that puts all God's tender mercies on display. And it's that feeds our soul, that comforts our soul, and that strengthens our soul, that renews our strength. If you haven't been there, and you're God's, you will be right here. Where your situation is so bad, you think, "I cannot endure this one more second. I can't endure the pain. I can't endure the heartbreak. I can't endure the uncertainty. I can't endure the darkness. I can't endure it one more second." And then God renews your soul. He renews your soul with the gospel. So as you've got the strength of youth again, at least for a little while, you can keep going. You can keep going. He renews your strength like the eagle. Nothing tastes better to the believer. There's nothing better in the mouth of the believer than the gospel of God's tender mercies. You know, normally, something tastes good, it's not good for you. This is something that tastes good and gives life to your soul. It's good for you. And the Lord has seen fit in his goodness to give that to us in this little podunk place. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. The sixth benefit is knowing Christ. Verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Now God's children don't just know how God saves sinners. Knowing how God saves sinners, I mean, that's a good thing to know, but that's knowing God's acts. God's people know more than God's acts. They know God. They know Christ. Now, I thought of this illustration. There's few things in this world I enjoy more than eating cake. I mean, I love it. Miss Clara can bake a cake, buddy. I mean, she can bake a cake. And I don't much know how she does it. I mean, she could show me the recipe. She could say how you mix this stuff together. She could show me what the oven temperature is. Okay. I mean, yeah. Whatever. I wouldn't really get my interest all that much. But it's another thing altogether. Other than know how that happens, you know what is really enjoyable? Is to eat that cake. That's salvation. Salvation, not just knowing how God does what he does. It's knowing Christ. It's believing on his great name. It's resting in him. Salvation is a vital living relationship with God Almighty. And God makes himself known to his people so that they know him, so that they come to him, so that they rest in him. We didn't figure this out on our own. I mean, now come on. We did not figure this out on our own. God saves his people by revealing himself to us and in us.
You know, it's one thing to talk about God's work for His people and God's work in His people. I mean, you know, any academic can understand God's work for His people. And they may not believe it, but they can understand the words that mean God's work in His people. God gives them life, regeneration, and the new birth. It's one thing to understand all that. It's another thing for God to do it for you and for God to do it in you. For Him to reveal His Son to you and in you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all His benefits. And we do bless the Lord for all of His benefits to us. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I hope, that is not the only reason we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord when He blesses us, gives us our heart's desire. Everything's going well. Do we bless the Lord when He tries us to? I mean tries us. We bless the Lord. We feel good, feel strong. Can you bless the Lord when He takes your health away? Put you in the hospital? Can you? I enjoy life. Don't you? I enjoy life. You bless God and He takes it away from you. The doctor comes in and says, you got 3 months to live. You bless the Lord then? Now, come on, are we? We're thankful for all the goods of this life that we have. You bless God and He takes them away. Here's a second reason to bless the Lord. It's very, very, very important. And just because it's second, don't think it's chief, not chief. This is the chief reason to bless the Lord. Because of the character of God. Because of who He is. The character, the personality of the Lord is what draws sinners to come to Him. And it's His character, His personality that makes us bless His holy name. First, God's character is merciful and gracious. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Now earlier we looked at the Lord crowning, covering His people with mercy and grace. You know why He does that? Because that's His character. The Lord is graciousness. He is merciful. It's not just that He has mercy and grace. He is mercy. Merciful. He is gracious. And He's gracious and merciful to His people. Because of Christ's work for them. Something still has to be done with the sin of God's people. And God poured out all of His wrath for that sin. All of it upon His Son. All of it. That means there's none left. If He poured it all out on His Son, it means there's none left for His people, right? Then all that's left for His people is mercy and grace. Now, that's not to say that the Lord does not see the sin of His people. Of course He does. Of course He does. But He's slow to anger, isn't He? He's long-suffering with His people. Because that's His character, to be gracious. God's people are sinful people. My sin is more than the hairs of my head. That's true for you and me both. But God's people are not destroyed. Because God is merciful. The Lord is more plenteous in mercy than we're plenteous in sin. Because that is His character. The character of the infinite God is merciful. So He is more plenteous in mercy than we're plenteous in sin. And the Lord sees the sin of His people, but He never, ever punishes His people for their sin. Now, He's going to correct His children, just like any wise and good and loving father. He's going to teach His children. But He'll never punish them for it. It's never going to be in His wrath, because He already punished Christ our substitute. Verse 9. He'll not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. See, God doesn't punish His people. He doesn't deal with His people after their sin because He dealt with Christ after their sin. And I'm going to say it again, that made it right for God to show His mercy and His grace to His people. That doesn't make you come and kneel and bless the Lord from the heart. Nothing will. You must not need mercy and grace. And someone will say, okay, anybody with any sense can read the Bible and understand something about God's mercy and His grace. Well, how merciful is He exactly? Will His mercy run out? Is God merciful enough to save a sinner like me? And when it comes right down to the brass tacks, that's what we all want to know, isn't it? Is God merciful enough to save a sinner like me? Yes, He is. Almighty God has an inexhaustible amount of mercy for His people because He is merciful. That's His character. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. God's mercy is so great it can't be measured. I mean, you just can't measure all the way up into the heavens. God's mercy can't be measured. God's mercy is so great. He makes it so that the sin of His people will never touch them again. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us. I've told you this many times. You've heard it from other men too. David didn't say, the Lord separated our sin from us as far as the north is from the south. I was watching a documentary about the Civil War the other day. In the heat of that war, boy, people thought north and south were a long way away, didn't they? North and south touch in two places, don't they? Both poles. You go north long enough, you're going to meet south. But if you go east, and you keep going east, and you keep going east, and you keep going east, you'll never go west. You'll never run into the west again. And that's what David's saying here. God's mercy has removed His sin, the sin of His people, so far from them, it'll never touch them again. So there's no reason God should not be merciful to His people. The sin that made Him angry is gone. He's the one that took it away. All right, second, God's character, His personality to His people is a loving Father, not an austere judge. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. I was having dinner with Brother Don Fortner last week, and he made this statement. I thought this was interesting. He said, I can understand somebody not being comfortable, just wanting to come right up and talk to me and say anything that's on their mind. He said, I have an austere personality. He said, I have a loud, booming voice, and I carry myself this way. Some people just would not be comfortable just coming up and saying anything in this world to me. And Janet, she laughed, you know. And I agree with her. I don't see my brother that way at all. I see a golden, tender heart. But I do understand what he's saying. Some people might be a little, you know, afraid to go up and talk to big old Don. You want me to tell you somebody who does not feel that way? Don Fortner has the apple of his eye. One child. One daughter. She's not afraid to come talk to her daddy any time she wants. And you ought to see him start talking about her. He just glows. The God that we worship, the God that we preach, is God Almighty. He is the judge of all the earth. And He is austere. He's just and strict. But God's children come boldly to our Father. Now we come reverently. Absolutely we come reverently. We come and kneel in silent adoration. But we come boldly with all the confidence knowing He's going to accept me. He's going to hear me. That mighty hand is going to reach out and touch me in tender mercies because He has made Himself to be my Father. Oh my. I had a job one time that required me to be in court for the company business from time to time. And I was there one time waiting for our case to come before the judge. And I'd been in the courtroom. I kind of, you're there long enough, you kind of feel like you get to know the personality of the judge. And this young fellow was in there. He'd done some bonehead thing. I don't remember what it was. And I'm telling you, that judge blistered him. I mean, just blistered him. Just, I thought, oh, this kid. I mean, he's going to get it. And after he blistered him, he said, I'm going to let you go. No jail time, no fine. But you're not austere. Don't you ever come back here again. That's not how God our Father deals with His people. Not as an austere judge, but as a loving Father who tenderly pities His children. He pities the pain, the situation, the sin, the need. And with that great loving hand, provides it for His children. That doesn't come, make you want to come and kneel and bless the Lord from the heart. Maybe it's because you're not a child. But that thrills the hearts of God's children, doesn't it? Right, here's the third thing. We bless the Lord because of our sinful character. Bless the Lord for His benefits. We bless God for His character. And because of our character, all we are is sin. Yet, God saves sinners. Everything we do is rebellion against God, yet God is still merciful to His people. God loves His people, even though they're nothing but sinful flesh. Verse 14, for He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. It doesn't look like there's a flower ever growing there at all, much less a pretty one. Now, you know, it seems like we often forget that we're just flesh, that we're just dust. We act like we can do a lot of things that we can't do. We act like we're going to be here longer than we probably will. Jan and I went to visit our new baby Boone the other day, and I was holding him, and I was looking, he's bright-eyed, he was just looking back at me, and I was thinking to myself, I'm anxious to watch this boy grow and become a man. I may not be here when that happens. I just may not, and we act like we're going to be here forever. But the Lord doesn't forget. The Lord does not forget that we're just dust. And I believe this will comfort you. He doesn't forget we're just a pile of dust. That's all we are. So He doesn't expect from us more than we're capable of doing. Does that comfort your heart? He doesn't expect us to not sin, and He doesn't expect us to be perfect. So He continues to be merciful and gracious. He tells us be perfect. He tells us don't sin. But when any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Our Father knows how quickly we fade like a flower out there this time of year. So He strengthens us. Very soon, we don't know it, but He does. We won't be here anymore. And our wise and good Father has prepared for us a place to be with Him forever in a body made just like His body. We won't be here for long. But God, in His mercy, will be. Verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. You know, I worry about the kind of world we're leaving for our children and our grandchildren. I kind of think we all ought to just walk through elementary schools apologizing to these kids, the world, We're leaving them to the mess they're going to have to deal with. And I don't know what their world is going to look like. I don't know what little Boone's world is going to look like in 30 years. I got no idea. I'm full of fears about it, but I got no idea what it's going to look like. But I do know this. God will still be merciful to His children. Somebody is still going to be keeping God's covenant. Look at verse 18. To such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them, Somebody's going to remember God's covenant. Somebody's going to keep it. They're going to be faithful to do it. They're going to be faithful to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's commandment to you and me, believe on Christ. Somebody's going to do it. And they're going to keep believing. God's going to give them faith, and He's going to keep them faithful. If that doesn't make you want to come and kneel and bless the Lord, nothing will. Right here's a closing exhortation. It's based upon God's character. It's based upon our character, and it's based upon all God's benefits to His people. This is the exhortation. Everybody, bless the Lord. How can you not? Verse 19. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. So bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, and all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let the angels in heaven, whether, I don't know who he's talking. He's talking about everything in creation here. The angels in heaven could be created beings. Could be talking about God's preachers, God's people. Whoever they are, let them all bless the Lord. Let all of God's works, His works of grace and His works of wrath, let all of them bless the Lord. Let every person, believer and unbeliever alike, let all of creation, the trees, the hills, the mountains, the lakes, the streams, the ocean, the stars, the sun, the moon, let all of creation join together and bless the holy name of the Lord Jehovah. For He is worthy. For He is worthy. And it is my prayer that that will start with us tonight in our hearts right now. God will be pleased. All right, let's bow together. Our Father, we say with David of old, bless the Lord, O my soul. Father, how can we begin to thank You, praise You, and bless Your matchless name as we ought to? But Father, from all that is within us, from the new heart that You've given us, from a heart of faith, the heart of love, the heart of a child. Father, we bless Your holy name. Oh, thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. That someone as great as You are would reach so low for lowly, unworthy, worthless sinners such as we are, and bestow all of Your grace and mercy and goodness upon us through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let us go home this evening with that heart of praise and adoration for God our Savior. It's in His precious name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Let's stand and sing number 32. Number 32. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man die, that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. At God the Father's own right hand, where angels fall stand. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Redeemer, Savior, friend of man, once ruin by the fall, thou hast deemed thy salvation's plan, for thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdom conqueror, whose rank shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name.